Thank you, and welcome to this radio broadcast of the Independence Baptist Church. We're glad you're listening, and we do pray that God would bless you this morning as you hear another portion of His own precious Word. We'd like to speak this morning on the subject, Why Do the Wicked Prosper? We're going to take our text from the book of Psalms 73, verse 1 through 3, and think on the subject, Why Do the Wicked Prosper? We would like to take this opportunity to invite you to come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in the city of Forestdale. We have our Sunday school beginning this morning at 10 o'clock, and then our morning worship at 11. And then tonight's services begin at 4 o'clock with our prayer service, and then 4:30 for our evening worship. And then 7 p.m. each Wednesday evening is our midweek Bible study. So you're welcome to come to all these services, and I know that if you're looking for a place where you can worship God, you'll find it at the Independence Baptist Church. If you have questions concerning the things that we believe, or the things that we preach, the things that we practice, or if you just have a Bible question, I'll be glad to talk with you about any and all of those things. I love to talk about the Bible. It's a really a good book, and there's a lot of things in the Bible. And so we invite your inquiries into all those things, and I would love to talk with you about it. You can contact me by writing to the Independence Baptist Church in Forestdale, Missouri. This morning, let's read the book of Psalm 73, verse 1 through 3, as we think on the subject, Why Do the Wicked Prosper? Verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Today, if you have a little trouble understanding why wicked people prosper, and why it seems that God just doesn't do anything to them because of their wickedness, then you may be in the same boat that Asaph was when this psalm was written. Because he was wondering, why in the world does God seemingly let the wicked people just go on? And they are very prosperous. Everything that they have, it seems, it just gets better and better. And, of course, Asaph is saying that he had washed his hands in innocency, he had cleansed his heart, he had tried to do what God wanted him to do, and he was chastened every morning. He was plagued every day. And he was discouraged because he looked at the wicked in all of their prosperity. And that may be your case today. Let's read on here in verse 4. And the Bible says what Asaph saw. And this may be the same thing that you're seeing in wicked people and how they seemingly get away with their wickedness. In verse 4, the Bible said there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Well, that simply states that mean people, they think they get away with their meanness, and they just keep on being meaner and meaner. And that's the way it works, isn't it? Seems like that God just is not bothering them at all. Now in verse 7 of Psalm 73, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Why, they have a lot of material wealth and material gain. The Bible said in verse 8, they are corrupt. And they speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. In other words, they don't mind telling anything. They don't mind just saying anything. And whether it's cursings or swearings or declaring that God should damn something or declaring that something else happened or whatever, they just go right on their own merry way and seem like that nothing ever happens at all. The Bible says that they are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning lofty things. The Bible said in verse 9, they even set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Why? They say that God has no power at all. Look in verse 11. They say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. That's what Asaph saw. And my, he was discouraged, because they just kept on being wicked. And Asaph was chastened every morning. And God was constantly bothering him concerning his sins and concerning his wickedness. Well, the same scenario we can find in the book of Job. Job says in verse 21, "Wherefore do the wicked live? Become old, yea, are mighty in power. Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth, and faileth not. Their cow calveth, and casteth not her calf." Well, they got all kinds of prosperity. That's what Job saw way back in his day. In verse 11, "They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and the harp, and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty, they say, that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we should pray unto him?" These are the things that sometimes greatly discourage us in this world. If you today are saved and you are trying to serve the Lord, especially if you are saved and you've been scripturally baptized and you're trying to serve the Lord in his church, and you're just trying to do everything that you can possibly do, and it seems like that on every way you turn that God is chasing you and he's troubling you and Satan is there and he's bombarding you with sin and bad thoughts and all kinds of things, and other people, they just go blithely on their way and they're never troubled at all, and you may begin to say, "Wow, I just think that it may not be worth it to serve the Lord." Well, let's turn back to the book of 73, Psalm 73, and let's see the end of this thought. Psalms 73 and verse 17. The Bible said, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end." Here's the thing we need to remember right here, is that everything is not over in this world. There is an eternity that each person is facing. And even though there are those today that are wicked, and they continue in their wickedness, and they are great criers against God, and they are great rebukers of God, it doesn't mean that God has forgotten them. Notice that there is an end, and God is watching all of their wickedness. Just like God sees our wickedness, and just like God sees our good things, God sees theirs. Look in verse 18 of Psalms 73. "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casteth them down to destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors." Think about this a minute. The rich man and Lazarus, which one had you rather be? And we can think of the Lazarus, who was very, very poor, didn't have even money for a doctor, and the dogs came and licked his sores. And Lazarus was begging crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Then there was the rich man, who in this life had everything that heart could wish. He fared sumptuously every day, had everything, and lacked nothing at all. And yet, both of those men died. Lazarus died, the Bible said, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And then the Bible said, in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. You see what the Bible is saying here in verse 18 of verse of Psalm 73. "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou casteth them down to destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terror." And in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes. Yes, he fared sumptuously upon this earth. The rich man had everything that heart could wish. But the rich man died and went to hell. And in hell he lift up his eyes, and there he saw Lazarus sitting in Abraham's bosom and being comforted. Now, which one had you rather be? You see, we need to take an eternal viewpoint on these things. Notice now in verse 20, as a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Even now, God, it seems, is letting the wicked go on with their wickedness and just go on and on and on and doing nothing at all. But there's coming a day when God is going to stop, when God is going to, as the psalmist said, as he will wake up, and then he will despise their image, and those people that have done wickedness will face the judgment of God. You know, folks, today, we're living in the day of grace. We're living in a day of God's mercies. We've been living in the days of grace and in the days of God's mercy since Jesus came in the Garden of Eden to Adam and gave him salvation. The days of grace have been since Jesus promised that he would come into this world in Genesis 3 and verse 15 and that he would give his life a ransom for sin. We're living now in the days of mercy. We're living in a day when God would so much, as far as what we can see, turn a blind eye to sin and to wickedness and just say to every sinner, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, bring your burdens unto me, I will give you rest. And all of those people that refuse to heed the pleadings of God, they go on their merry way, continuing in sin. And it looks like they're getting away with it. Oftentimes, these people die in their sins without ever having repented at all. The thing that you and I don't see is their soul in hell. What we do see is their prosperity while they live. But we do not see their soul in hell, for we do not have eyes to see into hell. All we can do is look around at the things that's presently with us. This shows us once again that God is able to bring judgment and bring righteousness, and he will take care of every sin. He will either forgive it or he will judge it. Notice now in verse 21 what the psalmist says. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. What a great thought this is. That even though you and I sometimes doubt what God is really doing with us or with those that are wicked, God is there with us. He stays with us, and he never, ever leaves our side. The Bible said in verse 24 of Psalm 73, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Yes, what a day that will be. Notice this final scripture in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8 and verse 14. The Bible said, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be the wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I say that this also is vanity. The truth is that God will straighten it all out in the end. And you and I need to be faithful to God Almighty. We appreciate you listening to this radio broadcast and invite you to listen again next Sunday morning and then come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church. Thank you.